powerful storms. Five people arrested in Philadelphia following yesterday afternoon shootout between rival gangs left at least three people injured. Wall Street stocks opening lower this morning. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, what matters most for believers? We're looking at kind of a trickle-down, ticking-down, if you will, list of things that I believe are important, that I'm looking at as being very important for the Christian, conservative, and the patriot. We just got through talking about the fact that the Biden administration is coming out of the closet with their hatred, detestation, and rejection of Christians, Christian beliefs, churches, doing everything they can to undermine, tear down, and destroy. But we need to be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord Jesus reminded us of that. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18 and following, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Verse 20 says, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." We couldn't ask for a clearer indication of what we see taking place today, where there is a push to destroy anything that's called morals and ethics and values in the nation today, and it's being promulgated, carried out, pushed by the Biden family cabal and their desire to have simply a secular nation with no God, no truth, no Bible, no church, no Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying in general is we're watching the eradication, the erosion, the bifurcation and destruction of our First Amendment right. First Amendment right with the freedom of speech and the religious liberties that we have. Listen, if our First Amendment rights are truncated or canceled, we will have no religious liberties to be able to evangelize. The churches can be told when to open and when to close, as the government did during the days of COVID. And most churches bowed to the demand rather than taking a stand. We ought to obey God rather than man, as Peter said in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. But the second thing, ladies and gentlemen, our right of self-defense, to keep right to keep and bear arms. The Biden administration, through executive orders, have issued hundreds and hundreds of executive orders during his time in the Oval Office, with a minimum of 21 of those executive orders designed to truncate, to tear down, destroy, to infringe upon our Second Amendment rights. And one of the greatest evidence of that is not just out of the White House, but, ladies and gentlemen, the state of Colorado. I've got a headline. I touched on it, I believe, on the broadcast yesterday. I will elongate that thought for just a moment. The headline says, "One state pulling the trigger on gun confiscation scheme to do so." The state of Colorado is moving forward on a preliminary step to gun confiscation. According to the column by David Koppel, Koppel, K-O-P-E-L, research director of the Independent Institute in Complete Colorado. The key Colorado's agenda is that the state Senate, House, and governor's office all are controlled by Democrats and their leftists. The issue is the mandate for banking institutions to use special codes when someone purchases a gun. Is Colorado among the worst when it comes to allowing freedom? Ladies and gentlemen, there is that code where if you walk into the gun store, you buy your weapon, the weapon of choice, you place your charge card on the counter to pay for it, and it kicks it back disallowed or canceled because the government now in Colorado is passing legislation that says the charge card companies will act as their doorkeeper, their checking point, to make sure that you cannot buy a weapon. That's tantamount to gun confiscation. And that's what Biden has been pushing for since almost 4 years since he's been in office now. There's the mindset somehow, some way, that we can destroy the religious liberties and the freedom of speech, that we can destroy the right to keep and bear arms. And ladies and gentlemen, this November, November the 5th, will determine the destiny and the direction or the demise of the United States of America. It's going to take every Christian to pray, seek God's face, ask God to heal our land. It's going to take every Christian to vote. You realize in the 2020 election, according to the survey and the statistical records, some 40 million, you heard me, not 40,000, some 40 million Christians did not even vote. I believe if that's the case for 2024, we've lost our nation. I'm calling you even now, challenging you now, pleading with you now to register, make sure you register to vote, and vote in a manner that pleases God according to the scripture. It's an impossibility to vote for a candidate that believes that murder by way of abortion is okay. It's impossible to vote for a candidate that believes that somehow, some way, it's all right to destroy the Bill of Rights. It's an impossibility to vote for a candidate that believes that you can butcher healthy body parts on young men and young women and call it transgenderism and say that it's legal and it's okay. No, it's not okay. It is ungodly, unholy, and it should be considered child abuse, abuse for that child. But it's not, because the Biden administration's push for that. That transgenderism is the third thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I see on the horizon that this November election will make the difference in, trajectory and the direction that it's going in. Transgenderism push, forcing educators and medical professionals and corporations to push the immoral, unholy, ungodly ideology that God made a mistake when he created human beings. That mistake is that, ladies and gentlemen, the people are saying now, those that are pushing that agenda, claim there are hundreds of different genders. God created male and female, created he them, the scripture says in Genesis 1:27. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And yet somehow, some way, we have the mindset that we need to embrace the LGBTQ, sodomite, transgenderism agenda. That's being promulgated and pushed today by every facet, through every organizational structure, by every department of the federal government today, because that is Joe Biden's fixation. That's Joe Biden's mindset. That ought to be a little frightening for anybody to think and understand that that's what motivates him, seemingly. In fact, I'm looking at a headline. Court refuses to dismiss parents' case over school's trans indoctrination. A state court in Wisconsin has refused to dismiss a lawsuit brought by two sets of parents against a school district over its transgender procedure. Those in the Kettlement school district provide that minor students can change their mind, names, their gender pronouns, and more at school without their parents' consent. The case was brought by the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. ADF lawyer Roger Brooks commented after the decision, Circuit Court, to deny the district's motion to dismiss the case. Quote, parents' rights to direct the upholding education and mental health treatment of their children is one of the most basic constitutional rights every parent holds dear. Yet we are seeing more and more school districts across the country not only ignoring parents' concerns, but actively working against the parents and their decision to decide what their child is going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make as we do the countdown, as I call it, preparation for the election November the 5th, we need to understand the issues that Christians ought to be most concerned about. Now, listen, I understand some of the issues that we're dealing with are economic. And they're saying now that inflation is down to 3.5%. But listen, when you put into the equation gasoline, groceries, housing, true inflation today is about 19%, not 3.5%. We're being told another of the Bidenomics lies that inflation is not too bad. In fact, you remember just about a year ago when they first started talking about inflation under the Biden administration, Janet Yellen said it's just temporary, transitory, that it'd be here for a while and like a blip on the radar screen, it'll be gone. No, it's not. It's here to stay. And we're talking about today, I listened to some online news this morning, and they're talking about some of the major mega banks that are now shuffling papers like shuffling chairs on the deck of the Titanic, because they have billions of dollars of loans on the books at 1, 2, and 3% back when interest rates was held low. And now the interest rates are skyrocketing. As a result of that, people can't sell a house, can't buy a house, and the banks are shuffling the paper now, trying to figure out what do we do with this paper that's not giving us a return to keep our doors open. Now, I'm not saying we're going to see a collapse of the banking industry tomorrow, but I believe it's on the horizon. So I understand that economy is grave. It's a serious thing. But from the Christian standpoint, our main concern ought to be those things that are antithetical to the Word of God, those things that are antithetical to moral, ethical agenda according to the Scripture, those things that will affect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as our Declaration of Independence calls it. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that those are in the crosshairs of this election. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to also recognize is that we have a no borders mentality with the Biden administration. Now, perhaps you're of the mindset, and I've seen those, some of those that say that, well, it doesn't affect me. Ladies and gentlemen, it affects every human being in the United States of America, bringing in millions of illegal invaders coming into our nation. It is, now we're seeing, as I said earlier, we're seeing today in the state of Michigan, which is now almost controlled by the Islamic jihadists, we're watching today the screams and the shouts, death to America, death to America. I'm looking at the headline, Muslim chant, death to America in Michigan. A crowd of pro-Hamas demonstrators gathered in Dearborn, Michigan, chanting, death to America, death to Israel. One of the speakers called the United States, listen, one of the rottenest countries on earth. If you don't love America, this writer says, you're free to go back to whatever third world country you're in, rat hole that you came from. Meanwhile, President Biden's Justice Department infiltrating Catholic churches and jailing pro-lifers who prayed and sang hymns outside of abortion clinics. They are jihadists, and they want to kill every Christian and every Jew in the name of so-called religious peace. Stephen Stankley, director of Middle East Media Research Institute, told Fox News that the Dearborn rallies have been happening for over 20 years and now have become the hotbed of hate in America. You can see rallies and sermons in support for Hamas and Hezbollah in Iran, and now we're finding it in America. I'm not saying that everyone in Dearborn, Michigan is a terrorist, but there's a large amount of support for jihadist groups in Michigan. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the Biden administration has done. You remember Obama said that we're going to transform, fundamentally transform America. We're watching his third term through Joe Biden and that transformation of America taking place. I believe we need to be concerned as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots for this election, because it is the determination of the destiny of America. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Yes, hello.
Yes, go ahead with your question.
I don't have a question, but I was downtown yesterday around 11:30 near the Gator Bowl or the football stadium, and I wasn't aware of this. I don't know if anybody was, but there was a huge, and I mean huge rally, Muslim rally down there. There was probably, the parking lot was, I mean, full of cars. There was probably, I'm guessing, thousands upon thousands, probably 10,000 people, clearly Muslim. It wasn't a demonstration. That was my first thought. But they were pouring into the Gator Bowl. I haven't been able to find out what exactly was going on. There was nothing on the news media, of course, locally. I did find on the internet that last year this time there was an end of Ramadan prayer fest that was held down there in the Gator Bowl. but I didn't know if you were aware of it, Dr. Youngblood, or anybody said anything about it.
Well, Jeff, I'm glad you called my attention to that. I was not aware of it. I knew that it happened last year, and you're probably right. It was probably a celebration of the end of Ramadan, and most citizens, most Christians, most conservatives, right here in the city of Jacksonville, right here in the state of Florida, and across America, do not recognize the infiltration of the Islamic jihadists that hate America, hate God, hate the Christian, hates the church, and in my book is Islam Tolerant, in the 23rd chapter, I believe it is. It's about a 350-page book that I had the privilege of authoring and publishing several years ago. Is Islam tolerant? The answer to that question is no. But I made the statement there, based on research, that when a city, a state, or a nation gets the Islamic jihadist in by as many as 2 to 6%, between 2 and 6%, up until that point, the Islamic jihadists remain silent, docile, will go along with, to get along, and then when they reach that number, they'll start demanding special food in the schools called halal food. They'll start demanding that they be able to have the five times call to prayer from their bell towers, their prayer towers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You see that happening in Dearborn, Michigan. You see that happening in Wisconsin. You see that happening in Minnesota. You see that happening even in this city today, because we have a leftist liberal mayor. And I believe it's going to proliferate across America, because when you study the scripture and understand what the Islamic holy book, as they call it, the Quran, and their desire, their goal is, just like it was under Muhammad, to absolutely dominate, control the whole world. That goal has not ceded. That goal has not stopped. That goal is not modulated for the Islamic jihadists around the globe. And they will do so. In fact, in their noble Quran, their holy book, the last 20-25 pages, they eviscerate anything that's called Christianity. They try to destroy anything that we view as holy for the Christian. And this celebration you're speaking of is the celebration of the end of Ramadan, and I believe that we're going to see that proliferate. But Jeff, I'm thankful that you called. What do you think? Let me ask, put you on the spot for a moment. What is, in your mind, at this moment, what's the most important issue that Christians, conservatives need to be concerned about this election cycle?
I think the biggest thing, Christians who believe the Bible and believe in Jesus Christ, the biggest problem we have is that people who claim to be Christ have no idea what being a Christian is. And I think there's too much sin in our nation. I think there's too much sin in the church. And right now, we don't humble ourselves and seek the face of the Lord, there's no way he's going to heal our land. So politically, we don't stand a chance. Unless we humble ourselves, seek God's face, turn from our sins, I don't think we have any hope at all.
Brother, you're exactly right. That is spot on. I believe that you're correct. And what I say to every Christian, every listener, even today, we need to pray and ask God to divinely intervene as he did in 2016. My opinion, my position, and put Donald J. Trump back in office. There may be a slight modicum of hope for the child of God, for the Christian, the concerned American citizen, as we would be through prayer, asking God to allow him to clean the sewer. And it's my prayer that God will place on the hearts and the minds of Christians to vote, and to vote biblically, November the 5th. Jeff, brother, thank you so much for your call. Keep looking up.
Thank you,
our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you today.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Bye. We're
talking about the major things that should concern Christians, conservatives, at this election year. We're talking about those things today that should be of concern on your heart and your mind. And part of that is the open borders that are allowing, you know, the media, the leftist Marxist media says just a few million. Between 10 and 15 million illegal invaders have come in through the southern border. The state of Michigan showing the result of having those invaders coming in. And ladies and gentlemen, there's another issue that I think we need to be concerned about. That's censorship. And right now, before Congress, there's a bill. I'm looking at the headline. What is the FISA, that's FISA, bill dividing Republicans in Congress? What is the FISA bill dividing Republicans in Congress? Very briefly put, let me just say this. The FISA law, which is Section 702, which gives the federal government the right to have sniffers, those that are looking at censoring everything on social media, et cetera, et cetera, supposedly was set up to prevent foreign invaders, foreign terrorists to come into America and harm us. But they're using that law to censor everything that you say, I say, text messages, emails, messages, Instagram, social media, Google, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. and that is proliferating, and now we have the Republicans divided whether we need to renew that law, allowing the federal government to do that. Fortunately, we've got a group of conservative Republicans say, no, we're not going to vote to renew it. And it's my prayer that that small group of Republicans that say we're not going to vote to renew it, that they will be sustained and that will not be renewed. The other issue is, ladies and gentlemen, talking about censorship across America. We're finding that more and more every day. Here's the article, terrifying, the true force behind the censorship in the industrial complex. And it goes on to talk about, in case you're not familiar with that, the fact that every social media, every platform is being monitored and scrutinized and censored. If it is something that the Biden administration doesn't like and doesn't want, it is automatically censored and removed. Ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap up because we've got a few minutes left, and I want to cover it, want to end on this very serious, serious note. What is it that should concern us most in the November 5th election? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, what we do as Christians, conservatives, and patriots at the ballot box November the 5th will determine the destiny of America. We will either vote for the death of America or the deliverance of America from the Joe Biden administration and the demise of our nation. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, those two things boil down to two out of the six amendments that will be on the Constitution, be on the ballot for citizens to vote for. Amendment number three, for example, is on recreational marijuana. Amendment number three, recreational marijuana. I'm looking at the amendments, and I'm not going to try to cover all six of them, just number three and four. Number three says, 8 years after voters approved a constitutional amendment that broadly allowed medical marijuana, they will decide this year whether to give the go-ahead for recreational use of marijuana. The political committee, Safe and Smart America, backed heavily by the True Leave, that's T-R-U-L-I-E-V-E, True Leave, medical marijuana company. That's a mega, mega billion-dollar organization. And for the pushing of the amendment to be voted on in November, this organization, the growth, development, and the production, and the transportation, and the setting up of marijuana across America, that organization is the medical marijuana company called True Leave, and they spent $40 million to get signatures on petitions to put it on the ballot for November. Ladies and gentlemen, if any Christian votes for that, you need to go back and check up and see if you're saved. If any Christian votes for it, in fact, the UNF survey just said that that will be approved by citizens in the state of Florida. They've already projected, based on the polls that they've done, that 72% of citizens in the state of Florida will vote for recreational marijuana. And ladies and gentlemen, all you need to do is look at Oregon, Washington State, California, Colorado, and recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it destroys a state. The state of Colorado at this point, since they instituted that, it was voted on November of 2016, went into effect January of 2017, and now the sodomite governor is saying that we need to go back and rethink that because they're being eaten up by social services. Every $1 that the state of Colorado takes in off marijuana, they spend $3 on social services. All crime combined in the state of Colorado has increased by 547%. Teens and preteens are dying because of eating, ingesting marijuana-laced gummy bears, chewing gum, chocolate chip cookies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's no control as to how much THC, et cetera, goes into these marijuana-laced goodies and food items, and so the kids find them, they eat them. Also, in the state of Colorado, foreclosures and spousal abuse gone up, skyrocketing, simply because they're spending money on pot rather than on taking care of the bills. We're watching divorce and spousal abuse skyrocket as a result of that. We're watching incidents take place that the police say that we cannot control because we have no way to test it in the driver out on the road. We're finding major calamity in those states, ladies and gentlemen, and especially Colorado. If you want to know what Florida will look like, our governor Ron DeSantis, is adamantly opposed to it. Ron DeSantis makes a statement. Ron DeSantis says, once voters figure out how radical both of those these issues are, they're going to fail. It's basically a license, he goes on to say, a license to have everywhere pot everywhere you want. So no time, no place, no amount of restrictions. This state will start to smell like marijuana as other cities and towns that have authorized the legalization of recreational marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to say, God help me to tell others. Listen, I encourage you now, get on your Facebook account, get on your contact list, send everybody on your list. It's not too far in advance to do so, and telling them, vote no on Amendment 3. Amendment 3 will make marijuana absolutely flowing in the valleys and the streets of our cities across the state of Florida. You have all these vape shops that are set up now. They were set up in advance by the marijuana industry in order to be prepared with a sales approach when the marijuana is legalized. They have spent $40 million to get the signatures to put it on the ballot, and it's done by the marijuana industry itself. The second one is Amendment 4. Amendment that will limit government's interference with abortion. This portion of the statement about that says, the proposal constitutional amendment is in part saying, quote, this is what the abortion change will be if Amendment 4 is passed. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. You realize the broad term of health care provider under the rules, the regulations, the enabling legislation in the state of Florida. Health care provider can be your podiatrist, it can be your hairdresser, it can be your dermatologist, et cetera, et cetera. And most importantly, it could simply be the health care provider from Planned Parenthood that's advising to have an abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the major, major, major danger in relationship to that amendment. If Amendment 4 passes, the state of Florida will become the abortion go-to place for the entire United States. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Arizona High Court ruling restricts killing unborn children, but may have paved the way for more liberal state abortion laws. A ruling from the Arizona Supreme Court that bans killing of unborn children is nearly in all cases may lead to a much more permissive abortion report. The 4-2 ruling for the Arizona High Court, that's the Supreme Court of the state of Arizona, Tuesday, comes as a result of the overturning Roe versus Wade. The first law was established and enacted in 1864, 50 years before Arizona became a state. The law made performing an abortion or helping a woman procure one a felony punishable up to 5 years in jail. The law remained on the books even after Roe versus Wade decision made abortion legal throughout the United States in 1973, though it was no longer enforced. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of Arizona seems to have it right. They have gone back to 1864 law that said that you could not kill a baby or you would be charged with murder. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to say no. We need to say no to Amendment 4. We need to say we will not authorize the murder of a human being in the womb of the mother up to and including the moment of delivery. We must tell all of our friends, relatives, and neighbors, everybody in your contact list, tell them to say no on Amendment 3, to say no on Amendment 4, to preserve life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've listened and listened well. Consider those things that you think are important based on the biblical truth, not based on what the government might say. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching.